And so again, today, value these moments. See, go ahead, the first slide, please. The last time I preached, I covered the two men that were walking with Jesus. They met Jesus on the way to Emmaus. But they didn't realize that it was Jesus until it was too late. And he left them. Listen, don't come to know who Jesus really is or the fact that he was next to you when it's too late. Just this morning, he's here. Just this morning, the Spirit was speaking. Let me just throw this in here. Just this morning, if you went to Sunday school, he was there teaching and revealing some things. We don't just get together to Sunday school because of the coffee is so great. Coffee is great, but we don't get together for Sunday school for just that reason. For the teaching that the adults get, the children get, the youth get. And this is very vital. It's important. But these guys said, did not our hearts burn within us? What happened? Did we not understand? Did we not feel why he was talking to us? Didn't something burn inside of our hearts? And they're asking that question, trying to find the answer. They were so focused on the bad news or what just happened. This was the day that Jesus came to, he had resurrected. They had actually heard what the women that went to the tomb, they came back to tell the other disciples that the tomb was empty. That ought to have been a great moment. Where is he? Where is he? He's no longer there. He's no longer dead. That the angel even said, he's not here. Why do you seek the dead among the living among the dead? They should have been excited, but they were so upset and so saddened that that's the reason why Jesus said, what's wrong with you guys? What's going on? Why are you look so sad? And so thus began the conversation and the about 7 mile walk as they were walking to Emmaus. You see, we are encouraged this week that we are to value the moments that God gives us. And today, value these moments. The moment you drove onto the property and saw a friendly face. The moment you walked in, or you walked into the front door, you walked into your classroom, and the people that you recognize and know. See, many people today don't look at attending church like people did in the past. What changed? Something changed. I would say, who changed? Now, according to Scripture, God never changes. So who changed? I'm pointing at myself here too. We changed. Society has allowed us to change or caused us to change. That the fact that coming to church like it has been, like it used to in the past, it's not so important. Now, you know, I can just watch it from, you know, comfort of my own bed and watch it on, you know, YouTube or something. Watch it on live. And I understand if you can't get up because you're in a hospital bed somewhere, that would be the best thing to do. But somehow the idea of coming to church, attending a church service, isn't as vital as it used to be. Now, I didn't grow up. Maybe some of you have some stories to share. Shannon would say that she was brought to church the very week that she was born. And she remembers the days of lying underneath the chair. I'm not sure if she lied underneath the chair, but the fact that she was young and that her parents brought her to church. I didn't grow up spending hours in church or in a tent revival. Anybody remember those things? Tent revivals? Now, if I can remember, all I remember is the long Christmas midnight mass service that we would go to. It's one of the funniest things because I say the funniest things is this. My family growing up, we always went to, it was the family Christmas party was at my house or at one of my aunt's or uncle's house. And everybody would go there about 7 o'clock and everybody would eat. And then all of a sudden there'd be a little bit of bubbly. Then all of a sudden there'd be some, you know, the grown men would get, you know, would start their little card game. And then, you know, everybody would go back up for seconds and thirds and so forth. But by 11:30, people are getting their jackets, getting ready to go to the church midnight mass. And let me just be honest, some of my family members were already lit and they're going to mass. Well, that was the thing to do. That was the traditional thing to do, to go to midnight mass. Some of them already lit, and we have to sit in this long service. Or even the service before Easter. It was long. Why? Because the church that we attended, the altar boys would carry the crucifix, and they would do the stations of the cross, the times that Jesus when before he was arrested, when he was arrested, and then, you know, leading up to his crucifixion. That was a long service. I remember that. Or the long line of people receiving ashes for Ash Wednesday. I mean, it wasn't just 30 minutes or an hour. Something's happened, because for the most part, people tend to believe that 1 hour in the house of God is just enough to last for one full week. Isn't it sad that they don't believe that for a movie, for any sport-related professional game, event, a concert? There's a lot more to attending church that you may realize. More than just air checking your good person duty for the week. More than just meeting grandparents or friends in hopes that somebody will invite you over for dinner, or I call it lunch. You see, within these walls, most would consider this like a hospital. This building, this property, like a hospital, a spiritual hospital. And the moments that God creates and provides where you and I get to connect with Him, with others, with His Spirit, and with His Word. You see, don't miss out like the two guys did on their way to Emmaus. Don't be the ones who miss out on God on your way to Granny's or on your way out to eat after church. You see, these are the moments that we need to value. And I look at that video, it's funny, it's hilarious, bits and pieces, especially, you know, they changed it from the donkey to the camel, and it's on a golf cart. I'm not sure if you recognize this, but when the shepherds were in the field, did you recognize one sheep was stiff, his legs were, you recognize that? Okay. Just one of those things that I caught on to that video. But the fact that these kids were telling the story, I wonder how many of you would get the story all right if somebody was to record you telling the story. The story of the angels speaking to Joseph and Mary, and how many of you would get it right? Some of you probably have read it so many times that you probably would be 90% right, get it all right. But how many of us would kind of miss it, kind of like with these, you know, oh, they just, you know, the star came out and pointed at the barn. You know, it wasn't the barn. It was a house, if you know the scriptures, and the baby wasn't baby. The baby was now a boy. It was a kid. It wasn't a baby when the actual star and the wise men, of course, we kind of picture it as three wise men. We don't actually have the number three, but it always is depicted of three wise men because of the gifts. Did you also catch one of the gifts was Frankenstein? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is cool. You know, one of the gifts was Frankenstein. And of course, did you catch the first one where the girl said that it was a purple elephant or a pippo? And then she says, because I have one at home. It was funny. But we get this from, you know, these kids. And I don't believe that they had to learn or memorize a script. It was just them, the innocence of their heart, telling the story. And so you see, my first point is the fact that these moments here in the church, they connect you with God's presence. Psalm 22, verse 3. You don't have to. Let's stand for the reading of the word. King James Version. Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, "Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits the praises of His people. Father, we thank You for Your word. Let it speak to us. Lord, we pray for revelation of Your word, that we would be changed as we apply Your word to our life. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Second slide, please. You see, the moments that we have here in church, they connect us with God. Now, we find out that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, as the angel is speaking, the angel says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. God is with us. Now, I watched a video of Robert Morris, and he was explaining this, and it was really cool how he did this, talking about the presence of God. And he pointed out that in Scripture, we find that three examples or three references to God's presence found in Scripture. Number one, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You go to Japan, He's there. I mean, you go to the highest place, the highest mountain peak of the world. He's there. God is everywhere. Now, let me just throw this in here. God is not in trees. He's not in things. He's in people, but He's not in trees or in a mountainside. That's why we don't worship trees. We worship God because He's everywhere. And the fact that He is everywhere, He sees everything. The second thing is that God is in every believer. Jesus says it was expedient that I go away so that I can bring to you, or so that I can give you the comforter. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is in every believer. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it mentions that we have been adopted. In verse chapter 8, verse 14 says, for all are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Listen, as believers in Christ, we've been adopted into his family. And his presence and his Spirit is in us. Matter of fact, Jesus says that if we love him and keep his commandments, he and the Father will make their abode in our hearts, make their home in our hearts. Then Jesus says later on in chapter 14, 15, and 16, talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Romans 8, 16 says, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. How many of you are glad that you are God's children? Oh, come on. How many of you are glad that you are God's children? Amen. Amen. And now listen, I'm not trying to rile you up because we're recording. You ought to just, I mean, while you're driving, the thought comes to you, I'm a child of God. Yeah! I mean, get excited about this great thing that you and I are privileged to be a part of. Verse 17, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, let me stop. I know some of you you're not like me. You're introvert. So it might be difficult while you're driving. You go, yeah. So just, yeah. I mean, that's probably good enough for introverts, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be so loud. You don't want to look like you're weird. You kind of keep to yourself. So, you know, so it's okay. Just find your way to just, yes, I'm a child of God. So going on to verse 17. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Uh-oh, a lot of people don't like the bad part. They like the good parts, but they don't like the bad parts. And like it was said this morning, regardless of what we go through, you know, Janine was mentioning the people that have no hope, that don't have Jesus, their mess is a mess. It's a big mess. But when believers, when we go through some messy times, we can say, hallelujah, I'm so thankful, God, that I can call upon you and I can rejoice that my strength, Lord, it comes from you, not from my mind, not from, you know, how smart I am or how foolish I am. My strength, my wisdom, my joy comes from you. And so Robert Morris is talking about the presence of God. God is everywhere. God is in every believer. And that God's presence is manifested when his people are gathered here in church. Now, I know that some people, their church doesn't look like our church. In some countries, their church is a hut. In some countries, their church is in a basement and they do everything quietly because, like I've mentioned, it's an underground church. They can't get loud like we can get loud. They have to be quiet. Matthew 18, 20 says, for where two or three are gathered as my followers, I am there among them. So this is why it is important that we understand, value these moments in church. We can experience God's presence in these three ways. And it's, you know, found in scripture. So how can you or I experience or connect with God's presence here? We find that God's presence brought the early church together and to empower it for his glory. How can we? We can how? Because God wants it that way. We can experience God's presence when we come together because this is what God wanted to begin with. And in the first place, matter of fact, in the early church, God told them to assemble in one place. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In the New Living Translation, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Do you notice, of course, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, it was God's instruction, it was Jesus' instructions to the disciples that they stay in Jerusalem and they don't go anywhere. Notice he didn't pick another place, Jerusalem and Samaria, or Jerusalem and, you know, Egypt. It picked one place. Why? God wanted his people to be in one specific place to receive the power from on high, the promise from the Father, because God wanted to do something on that day. And it was in one place. Now, there's churches all around the world, right? God is still wanting to do in one specific place at a time when they assemble, where God's Spirit can fall upon people, where God's Holy Spirit can give God's people a revelation of his word and instill with them or fill them with his Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm not sure how many of you who are believers are desiring to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. You know, that's one of our prayers. We pray that every believer would desire to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. We also pray that every believer would receive the calling of God on their life and that they would answer to that calling. Why? It's not because it's because I know that God wants it, because we find it in Scripture. And so as they were assembled together, it was God's desire, it was God's plan that they were to be together. See, God's presence brought conviction and sin, because after what God did in verses 1 through 4, we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41, God is using one of his disciples to do a mighty great thing, being able to explain and expound something clearly to the people that are all surrounded around, who thought they were drunk with wine, but he said, listen, we're not drunk. It's only the afternoon. You know, I'm thinking, why it was in the evening? Do you get drunk? No, they don't get drunk. But the fact that there was a Spirit of God flowing through them. So it says in verse 36, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles. Let me just stop. It wasn't Peter. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to the people that were there, convicting them. It was the words that Peter was speaking, being led by the Holy Spirit of God to touch the hearts of the people that were surrounding them. And it was the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. That's why their hearts were pierced. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Great question. God is convicting you this morning and you're not sure what to do. Lord, what am I to do? And listen and stick around long enough to hear what the Spirit is saying so that you'll know what to do. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. That's us. All who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Praise God. You see, this is what happens when God's presence, we connect with God's presence. Point number two, next slide, connect with God's people. You see, believers come together, we form a spiritual community. Because of the fact of the Spirit of God living in us, unity within the family of God brings him glory. Just this morning, from the time that you arrived, from Sunday school even to now, God's glory, God is being glorified. The fact that we gather together because of his purpose, because of our desire to meet with him. And just remember this, if you're looking for God, just ask yourself, how hard am I looking? Am I seeking him with all my heart? Because Scripture says, if you do, you'll find him. If you're really seeking wisdom about a decision that you know you have to make, if you're really seeking him, you'll find the answer. You'll be led by the Holy Spirit with not conviction, but with peace for that decision. And you'll know what the answer, you'll know how to respond. You see, with those of the same mindset of Christ to be obedient with the Father, we gather together in his presence. Even if you're not a people person, God will reveal to you his purpose for you. Let me give you a hint. It involves people. Even if you're not a people person, let me tell you, God will speak to you, because while you're connecting with people, but I don't like people, Lord, you spend time with him and he'll tell you, listen, my purpose, do you want to follow it or not? And it does involve people. Why? Because it involved you. That's how you came to know the Lord. So it involves people where we encourage one another. We might sharpen one another and rough up against one another, but it is so that God would be glorified, so that we would have the same mindset that Christ had. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus had this mindset, that he was obedient to the Father all the way to the cross when it was difficult. I think that's why Jesus says, listen, you follow me, pick up your cross. Why? Because he experienced it. He understood what it took. We need to understand what it takes. So whether you're not, you're a people person, or whether you are or you're not, listen, God's purpose for you involves people. And so when we connect with God's people, it brings glory to him. Encouraging one another through difficult times and joyful times. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. Now, what happened was Peter and John, they were arrested for doing something that was awesome. They were there, and there was this man that was healed. And in verse 23, it says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Verse 34, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together. Why did they do that? They thought it was an honor to be in that situation. The fact that there was persecution and they were being persecuted for Jesus, we got a lot to learn, don't we? Some of the times we get all up in an uproar because of what's happening at school or this and that. Listen, students, they have not taken prayer out of school. As long as you have air to breathe, you can pray. They have not taken scripture out of school. As much scripture you can memorize. If you don't have a Bible, you can take the word of God anywhere. But here they were joining together and just thankful. And so it says that they lifted up their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And it continues, and I just want to jump to verse 29 for the sake of time. It says, and now, O Lord, hear their hearts. They're still praying. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Listen, if you haven't prayed that prayer in a while or you've never prayed it, pray that prayer right now. Lord, give me boldness to preach the gospel. Lord, give me boldness to reach and connect with other people. Because God, you know me, I'm an introvert. I don't like people. But Lord, your purpose involves people. So I want to get involved in your purpose. I want to be in your purpose. And so that continues in verse 31. Verse 30, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't this happen before? Yep. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. You see, this is what happens through interaction. If you come into the church and if nobody, which I say this by testimonies of people who have come to this church. I don't see this happening, but if you come to church and no one greets you, no one says anything to you, smile and make yourself friendly to someone else. So scripture says, he who shows himself friendly has many friends. So if you just put your head down, you don't talk to him, I don't think you have many friends. but scripture tells us. But I don't think this happens because of testimonies that people, when they come and visit in Treasures, it's a friendly church, it's a loving church, it's a greeting church. I pray that we continue to be that way. Why? Because people matter to God, people ought to matter to us. Amen? So we connect with God's people, and this is why we ought to value these moments in church, that this is where we connect with other believers. You see, those who are extroverts, you reach out. You're like me. God made us this way. We reach out to people. Those who are introverts, ask God for help to reach out. This isn't your excuse to exclude yourself. Well, God, you made me this way and I'm just an introvert. I just don't like to talk to people. That's not an excuse. That's not a good excuse. It's a bad excuse. So ask the Lord to help you. You see, we need this accountability. We need this encouragement. We need prayer from one another. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. This is another situation. Again, like I've said, some difficult times and joyful times. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, it says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, I like multiplying. I would rather have multiplying than addition. How many of you would rather have your income multiply than addition? Can I hear an amen? Right. Yeah. Everybody would, hopefully. All right. So the number of the disciples was multiplying. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists or the Gentiles because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Hey, we're not getting served over here. Well, you got two legs. Get up and serve. No, I'm kidding. So there was a discussion. There was difficulty. People were feeling neglected. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples. Again, the multitude of the disciples, there was discipling going on. There ought to be discipleship going on in the church. If you're not discipling someone, find someone to disciple. If you're not being discipled, find someone that is older in the faith and meet with them or say, hey, can you answer this question? We are responsible for this, okay? And so the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Do you think that the 12 disciples were lazy? No. You think the 12 disciples thought that they were too big or too good to serve? No, they had a purpose. They had a specific thing they were to teach and to expound the scriptures and teach. And so they had to have time for the word. But there were so many other people that certain things can get done. Verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Dropping down, it says they chose Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed and they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. See, this is what happens. Accountability, there's encouragement, there's prayer, the laying on of hands, and even wisdom being discussed and shared among the body of Christ. See, division could have happened. Schisms could have happened. But the point and the focus was the fact that the body of Christ remained the body of Christ. There are certain things people ought to be focused on doing, and there are certain things that people ought to get up and start doing. This is what happens. Value these moments. I like to think that many of you would probably value the fact the moment that you walk into a room and the AC is on or the heater is on. By the way, it was my fault. Whoever was in nursery, I didn't turn the nursery heater on. That was my fault this morning. The fact that we have that. The fact that you went to the drinking fountain and got some water. The fact that you went to Sunday school and had some delicious coffee. Or creamer with your coffee. Or sugar with your coffee. I mean, value those moments. And some of you are like, well, you know, what's so important about sugar? For those of you that like sugar and creamer with your coffee, you like it very much, don't you? Value these moments. But somebody had to put that together. Somebody had to clean the coffee bar. Somebody had to put toilet paper in the toilet paper container. Somebody had to turn on, of course I didn't, turn on the heater or the AC. Somebody has to pay the light bill for us to be able to experience all this. So you see, when we come to the God's house, we ought to value these moments that we come together and connect with God's people. Our last point, slide 4. Connect with God's word. Listen, God has been speaking to you ever since you woke up this morning. None of us woke up thinking, all on our own, I think I'm going to go to church. Your body was probably telling you, go back to bed. Feels so good. Don't you love this down comforter? Oh, aren't you glad you bought this, was it the miracle pillow? The My Pillow. Aren't you glad you bought this My Pillow? Go back to sleep. Your flesh tells you these things, but the Spirit of God was saying, get up, brush those fangs, comb that hair, get dressed, bring your family to the house of God. Amen. Amen? And so here is where we connect with God. Again, valuing these moments that we have in church. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith does not increase because you have several of these thick, big Bibles on your dresser, on your bookcase, on your dashboard, on the back of your car, or the fact that you go to sleep with it like this. Your faith does not increase like that. Your faith increases by you reading and hearing. Okay? Hearing the Word of God. Do I have a slide? Yeah, connect. Each of us are responsible for what is taught, for what is shared, for what is preached today and every day. Hearing God's word profits us in what to believe, what to correct, and in what to apply to our lives. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scripture, everyone say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not your good work, not my good work, God's good work. Amen? So it is important to seek and to understand what God is saying. Listen, you and I need his spirit. You and I need more of him. You and I need the scriptures to be expounded to us more clearly. I need to hear preachers. I need to hear sermons. I need to hear Bible studies. I need to hear teachings. I need to hear people expounding on the scriptures more clearly. Why? Well, because I need to know more. You need to know more. And so we benefit this to have the things of God revealed to us. What? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, God has revealed them. What is them? The things that God wants to reveal to us. His things. God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, I've been married to my beautiful wife. It'll be 25 years next year. And there are some things that I know about her that a lot of people don't know. And I cherish those things. But there are some things that God knows about her, that there are things that sometimes he shows me certain things about her, what she needs or what's going on. And it's just an amazing. See, some of the things that you can search out about certain people, but unless God reveals some of the things about your spouse or even your kids, you can allow them, which Shannon does, cause them to go through these, you know, personality tests or whatever. But there are some things that God will speak to you about your son or your daughter that you need to cherish. Write it down so you don't forget and pray for it. Pray for them. Pray that God will allow you to see. One of the things that I would always ask when we were youth pastors, I would ask the Lord, God, help me to see in these students what you see that I can't see. And I begin to pray over whatever God shows me. If it's the fact that they're easily intimidated by things, or the fact that there's boldness and it's still not breaking out, but there's boldness in them. It's an amazing thing when you allow God to peel some things, peel the blinders, so to speak, that you're able to see what he sees, even when you're reading scripture. Some of us, how many of you, has this ever happened to you? You've read the story before. And this is probably the fifth or the tenth time that you've read it, and you're having a Bible study or a devotion, and it's this passage of scripture for that day, and you read it, and poof, something new comes. That's the Spirit of God revealing things. But you know what? You're not going to get it if you're reading, okay, I'm done. I'm done for my reading today. If you seek him with your heart, you'll find him. You'll find the word. You'll find that hidden treasure if you're really seeking. And so here, it is God's spirit that reveals these things, spiritual to spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I've always said this, and I just feel the need to say it again. That's why you can stand next to somebody who's really experiencing the presence that God is moving in the worship service, and the person sitting next to you, looking out the window, looking at their watch, trying to just imagine sinking their teeth in that steak or that chicken that they're going to eat later on, and totally miss out. And again, the two men walking on the road to Emmaus, they're so focused on the things that happened of that today. And the irony is that the one that had happened to him is standing right there, and they missed it. We can come into a building and the presence of God moving like he did this morning so powerfully. I mean, just even that one short moment that we were just quiet for a second. I mean, I was, the Spirit of God was moving. Whatever he was saying to you, if you missed it, you missed it. If you caught it, write it down so you don't forget. Pray it. Thank him for it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Chew on it throughout the day of what he said to you. But don't miss it, because the Spirit is revealing things that you and I, the natural man, cannot receive, cannot understand. Therefore, when God is speaking, let open up your ears. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Anybody? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Know the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit reveals God, what God wants to be revealed to us. His instructions are given to us to renew our minds this morning so that our lives could be renewed and changed, no longer the same. There needs to be some renovation going on in your minds this morning. I love how Shannon put it many years ago, I think it was the fact that when you go into a room and you just move stuff around, that's what happens. And sometimes you actually have to throw things out. And so that's what the Spirit does when he when our minds are being renewed. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, giving us revelation and deep understanding of what God is saying and certain instructions. That's got to go. That's got to go. Bring this in. Start meditating on this. Think of this more. Your week can be so full of stuff of this world and you'll miss out what God wants to say. I felt like moments like that this week. Certain things that just almost consumed all of my thoughts for the day. And I had to go back and say, God, forgive me. What did I miss today? You ever think about that? Did you miss an instruction from God when he said, turn right, but you didn't? Don't beat yourself over the head. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I want to learn your voice more clearly so that I can respond what you're saying to what you're saying. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say. So God, don't give up on me. God, I ask that you help me to know your voice more clearly so that I can obey. See, this spiritual revelation adds to our faith, wisdom, understanding, edification to that which is spiritual. There's no other way. There's no other way to increase your faith. There's no other way to increase the spiritual things of God, the deep things of God on your own. They have to come from him, through him, and by him. Amen. So you spend time with him. Last slide, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. See the surprising benefits of going to church? Man, we experience God's presence. And you might say, well, you know what? I can experience God's presence at home. Yes, you can, because God is everywhere. Well, I can experience God's presence, you know, by just, you know, going to have a cup of coffee with a friend of mine and not go to church. Yes, that could happen. But you know what you miss out on? What God is wanting to do to his people, what he wants to reveal, and you being a part of this church. That's one of the reasons why we also pray this prayer, that all of Hidden Treasures would be faithful to attendance. Faithful in giving, faithful in studying the word, faithful in prayer. Why? Do we want to make a bunch of robots for Shannon and Rick's? No. We want to encourage and equip you with what God is giving us for the word, for this service, so that you can take it, listen to it, meditate on it, chew on it, throw out the things that need to get thrown out because you're renovating. I'm renovating today, Lord. Thank you, God, for this word. I'm renovating my mind. I'm renovating my lives. Lord, my life is yours, not mine. So things got to go in Jesus' name. And that happens because you come to church. God's presence, God's people, God's word. These are the things that we benefit from. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, this passage came to my mind with these three points here. We find this going on. It says, when I call to remembrance, this is Paul talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, he has to see it. So there's a connection there right there. He has a connection with Timothy. Which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm thinking, just because my mind goes there, did they have a potluck dinner? That's how he got to meet his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They all gathered together for church. They all gathered together for the reading of the word, for the explanation or the expounding of God's word. and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the, what? Laying on of my hands. There's a connection right there. They were gathered together, and what God wanted to reveal to Timothy was being revealed, and he understood and knew that he had a gift of God, and Paul is just reminding him about this gift. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There's encouragement. Keep living for the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on him. Don't be ashamed, nor of me as prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Somehow this connection benefited their relationship. The connections you make in the church will benefit your relationship with God and with one another. Now, maybe some of you are in this room, you're like, you know what? I got burned before, I put up walls so I don't get burned again. Listen, you put up walls, those are the walls that God wants to break down. Because no matter what happened at Acme Church and whatever state you were in before, this is a new place. This is where God has led you, hopefully. And if he hasn't, if you haven't decided where he's leading you to, continue to pray. Because we also pray this prayer. Lord, lead your people to where they need to go so that they can do what you're wanting them to do. Amen. And somehow Paul saw and understood that Timothy's faith came from somewhere. It was impacted from someone. And so therefore the laying on of hands brought something. This is so awesome that when you pray with one another, you hold hands or you put your hand on someone and you agree in prayer about something that God says, that God's word says, there is a spiritual empowerment in that. You and I cannot see this with our naked eye, but something happens, it's powerful. And it wouldn't happen if you stayed at home. It wouldn't happen if you just chose to go somewhere else or and not even go to church. This is what happens when we come together and why we need to value these moments in church. This connection with God's presence, God's people, and God's word creates an opportunity for you and for me to value these moments that are created here that you and I don't create. God creates. We just happen to step into them. We just happen to be available for them. So begin to see and understand that these moments that are shared here are to be valued, not missed out on. This whole point that we've been, you know, just trying to drive, you know, to the church as a whole is value the moments that God creates, value the moments that God wants you to be involved in. How many of you can remember some of the moments or some of the places that you were at that God's like, you should not have been there. You should not have done that. See, why? Because God has a place for us in our minds and in our lives. He has a place. He has something for us. So begin to see and understand that. And I didn't create the church, the idea of church services and why we ought to attend them. God did. And he emphasized our need to be a part of them. So even as the Spirit speaks this morning, as the Holy Spirit speaks this morning, write it down so that you don't forget.